Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here with us this glorious day. What a wonderful weekend we just had with our vigil. It was quite a powerful weekend for me personally. And living on the western coast of the United States for 15 years, I felt the personal impact of what's taking place and really appreciate our energies of coming together. So we had more than 100 plus people participating during that vigil, and it shows the power of our prayer and our call. This morning, I'd like to share some reflections on a few things, including what's been labeled serendipity. And the word serendipity typically has a meaning of circumstances that come together that one would not expect to create an event. It's often called good luck or fortuitous happening. And this is something that we desire to kind of look in a little bit, because this is something that's happened to me over the last few years that I've paid a lot more attention to. So what's interesting is that I find that sometimes we're in circumstances and we wonder, how did we get there? Or we see certain things come together and we're very curious about them. So I've had some time to reflect on things that have happened to me over the last several years. And while one might call them serendipity, or serendipitous, I tend to think that it's more of a divine design. And that's how I choose to look at it. So a couple of examples that I have dealt with over the last few years really kind of highlights that for me, and I've come to embrace it, and really I'm very excited about it. Because sometimes you're in circumstances and you're not quite sure why you're there, and you know, you can have all kinds of energies about it, and oh, I don't like this, and why did this happen to me? I think that if you take the opportunity to step back and look at it, you might see that in some cases it's what you asked for, maybe not the way you expected to come out, but certainly it might have been exactly what you've asked for. So I'll give you a couple of examples. I'll take, for example, my beloved Raphael. We've known each other since the early 90s, and then we reconnected in 2003. But who would have known that our meeting at that time and what pursued afterwards would bring me to the Heart Center? So I could have said, oh, this is serendipitous, or it could be part of the divine design. And so I looked at life many times with that new perspective of that this is probably part of the divine design. I'm not aware of all the circumstances or other reasons, but it's something that happens, and I'm grateful for them, even though they at times seem difficult. So over the past few years, I've had some ups and some downs, and I've worked at embracing them as part of a path and a teaching for myself. And as each circumstance comes up, I say, well, what can I learn from this? Who was I in this circumstance that brought this to me? May I have asked for this? And now it's here. And I really feel that it is a good teaching for us, and particularly as students of the Ascended Masters. We have always asked for calls to them for different things. And therefore, it is really important for us to know that that happened. So, as I think of some of the things that happened to me, I take this into heart. Because I know that many of us, we make prayers and calls, not only for events and activities in the world, but we make calls and prayers for ourselves. And what we really must know is that the Masters are listening. They're listening to our prayers and calls. They're taking into consideration our quest, and they answer them, sometimes in the way we expect, and sometimes in different ways. And therefore, it's really for us to kind of step back, observe, and see how that can change our lives or impact our lives. So the interesting thing is that I lived in Seattle for over 12 years, loved the area, loved where I lived, had a beautiful view of the Cascade Mountains. Everything was just wonderful. And at the same time, most of my family and friends are on the East Coast, and I've always wanted to come back to the East Coast, and, you know, it was in my mind, and one day I'll do this, and yes, I would love to be closer to my children and grandchildren, but I didn't take any action. And then the opportunity came to work in Oregon, and I took on that opportunity. That required me to move. It required me to sell my home. It required me to move to the area of Hillsboro, Oregon, uproot our lives to a degree for this employment opportunity. Well, interesting enough, that employment opportunity only lasts 7 months. And so there I am in Hillsboro, Oregon, grumbling a little bit, to be quite honest, about the circumstances. However, it put me in a situation that, one, I did sell my house. Two, I'm now free from that. And three, I have the opportunity now to go anywhere in the country or world that we choose to go. And so that put on the opportunity to come back east, where I'm now in Maryland. I'm seeing my grandchildren frequently, and my daughter. So it was something that I hadn't planned on it being that way. I asked for it. I wanted to be closer to my children. But circumstances came through my life that brought that opportunity in a way that I did not expect and I did not plan. So that's just one example to me of asking for something and not asking how it would happen, but it did come to be. And so now I look at this other event and this activity in Oregon in a very different light than I did when I was in the middle of it. And so we have an opportunity, because I know that there are many people who are going through struggles and transitions and opportunities. And I invite us all to look at it as what's possible as a result of that. Sometimes adversity requires us to be stronger in who we are and what we can deal with. You know, and as the saying goes, God never gives us more than we can handle. Sometimes it seems like it. Sometimes we want to say, that's enough. I'm good. But in reality, we are often given opportunities for us to learn from, to us to become stronger, more knowledgeable, more flexible than who we've been in the past. And that's the blessing that we are offered and the teachings that we have that really support us in understanding that in a much more profound way than if we didn't have those teachings. I know for me personally that over the last 7 years, the Heart Center has provided me with such a great base to stand on and to be shoulder to shoulder with people also on that path. And I know sometimes we think, well, this is, we're being asked to do a lot. You know, a lot is being asked of us. And I think of it as, that's the beauty of it. We get to be offered this opportunity to stand up because we have embraced the light. We have embraced the message from the Ascended Masters to rise higher, and we know we are awakened, and we have this opportunity to grow, and therefore, it is our responsibility to be the leaders, to be in the forefront of this deliverance of the message of the Masters for the benefit of all mankind, all womankind, for this planet. And so every time an event comes up that one might call serendipity, I find it's really an opportunity to look at how did this come about? What did I ask for? What is being asked of me? Because I've put myself in this situation of being in a community of heart friends where we've come together for a purpose. And it serves not only the community at large, but it serves me personally. And as the Masters, and there's been many who've said this, look within yourself. Find the peace within yourself. Find the certainty of who you are, and that will be reflected in the world. And while it's sometimes challenging to think that what I do for me or who I am will impact the entire planet, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because we're all connected. So as each one of us rises higher in our path, it automatically brings up more in everyone. And so that's the beauty of our prayer services, the prayers that we have, the songs that we sing, that allow us to continually to rise higher so we can bring everyone else up higher. So as I think of other examples of this serendipity, I was reminded this week, and I have a few heart friend witnesses. I've been traveling a lot, and it's just really interesting how certain things come about. I live in Oregon. I moved away in November, and then at the end of December, I get a call asking me to work on a project back in Oregon. And so I accepted it, and I go back, and I'm just thinking, why would I need to do that? Why does it require of me being in Oregon of all times? And during the process of working there, besides the contributions I made on the project and the task, and it was quite an interesting project, I happened to be in the breakout room one day, and this woman walked in and introduced herself, and she was the vice president of education. And I thought that was, wow, her background and experience was about children, which is my first love. And I've served on a school board for many years. I desire to teach, and one of my biggest goals is to create a reading program so that all children will have an opportunity to read. I feel it's one of our greatest disappointments that we have people walking around today who cannot read, and particularly children who are in school and are not able to read. And so this is one of my desires to make an impact on the planet. So I felt that that opportunity to meet this person, to connect, who also has a very strong background in reading, gave me an opportunity to meet this person that, in all likelihood, I would have never, ever met her. I mean, she was in Atlanta, moved to Portland, I'm in Portland, moved to Maryland, all these things happened. So I found that that connection was very serendipitous, but I found it more, it was a divine design. So that was one example. And then another example was that I was in Chicago as a means of getting through to get back home from this contract, and I was traveling from Chicago back to Maryland, and then from Maryland I was coming back to New York to be in New York for my daughter's surgery. And I can tell you, it required prayers and calls and patience. My flight was canceled. Three itineraries was canceled in one day as a result of the upcoming storm that the Northeast suffered. And it was just interesting that as I went through that process, I knew in my heart and mind I was going to be there for my daughter's surgery. I prayed for that. That was the victory that I desired. And everything else looked very dim. It didn't look very hopeful. It was 4-hour wait times to talk to someone on the phone. They kept changing my itinerary. They wanted me to fly a day later. It was just bizarre. In the end, I was able to get a flight, not to Maryland and then try to get to New York, but directly to New York. And it just came, I believe, because it was really intended for me to be there with my daughter. I prayed for it, I asked for it, and the Masters answered my call. And the interesting thing that after all those cancellations, I stood at the gate for this flight to New York, and the gate next to me was the original flight I was supposed to be on that I was told was canceled, but the flight actually was taking off. So it was just really interesting. I really feel that through all of these challenges and for me to keep my focus on what I desire to occur, was how it worked for it to happen. Ultimately, what I desired, which is to be there with my daughter. Me coming to Maryland was not necessary. It would have been convenient. It would allow me to do certain things. But the real goal was for me to get to Maryland. And so I find that I stand in these events, and you know, even though they may not, it may not be the way I desire them to come about, I know that ultimately I can look at this and say, either this is a lesson that I am required to learn, or this is an outcome that I did desire and my prayers were answered. And in any event, this is an opportunity for me to grow from. So as I think about circumstances and where we are personally, there are a couple of things that I use in my life to go through life. And it became very important for me about 20 plus years ago when I learned this lesson. And it's really about who we are as people and what's possible. So one of the things that I find many of us do, and I try and work diligently to avoid as much as I can, and that's looking back. I first desire to live with no regret. Whether I make mistakes or not, I own up to them and I apologize and I ask for forgiveness. But I also know that I am not who I am today as who I was yesterday, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And oftentimes we predict our future based on who we were in the past. And I choose to believe, and I live by, every moment I have the opportunity to choose who Deborah is. The same way our cells regenerate and change, the same way the blood in our body today is not the same as blood that was in our body 6 months ago, I choose to live that each moment I choose to be who I am to create the life I desire. And when I take that approach, I'm not shackled by what I did yesterday, what I did 6 months ago, what I did 3 years ago. I am inspired to do this, and not necessarily an easy task, because it's very easy for one to say, oh, well, this has always happened in my life. This is who I am. This is my life. That's who I am. And I would challenge you to say, there is no who you are except what you create, and the opportunity to decide what you want for your future, what you want today for your present, is what you get to change and create. You know, we have memories of past instances and recollections, and those are just a small fraction of the actual activities and memories that exist. You know, it's collective memory, I call it. How many times have you been approached by someone, family or friends, and they remind you of an event of something you did years and years ago? You don't even remember it, but it's very pressed in their memory. So how is it that if that was something important to someone else that you forgot or could not bring to that to your recollection? So that's why we're selective in our memories. Our memory can be very selective only because there are thousands and millions of impressions that we have. There's only a few that we can actually call immediately to our recollections. So I encourage us to not hold on to that, to really let go of the past if it's not something that you want in your future or your present. And it does take work and opportunity for us to do that because it's what we know. And so I know that there's times when people say, well, that's what we had before. And I'm like, it doesn't mean that that's what we have to have now. So I encourage us to be in the now. And when we hear that, you know, Eckhart Tolle, you know, has this book about in the now, and we studied through our Meru University class, there's to me a little more than that presence. I leverage my I am presence to be a reflection of who I am in my truest state. That's who I am. That's the connection to who I am now and what I see around, my activities, what I do, who I'm talking to, etc., to who I am truly at the deepest level. Who am I? And my I am presence is that reflection. And I look to that to really support me in defining who I am, who I desire to be in this moment, and design that based on who I am. And I am love. That's who I am. I am love. And I work at being love and having my life be a reflection of love each and every day. Don't always get it right, but I work at it. And it's the goal that I've chosen for myself, to be love. And for those who I have hurt or harmed or said something unkind to, I truly apologize and I seek forgiveness. And I work through my life to always be that reflection of love. And I think that's the opportunity we have to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, and to really stand in who we are in the present moment, looking at how we can make that change each and every day. So what is ahead for us? I think that many times we look for the future to have something happen. And I said to myself, you know what, that's great, but who do I have to be today for that future to occur? And so I constantly look at myself in the present moment, each and every moment, knowing that I have the opportunity to shift, to stay where I am, if that's working, but also to be flexible. And I think that's a key word for all of us today. The world is changing and evolving. It's not the same world it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. We're all seeing that. From whether it's our employment, our lifestyle, we're just seeing things happen that we've never dealt with before. And to get some comfort for being in this kind of moment of transition and change from moment to moment, I feel that it's important for me to go back to the very essence of who I am and to connect with my body and presence and use that as my guide to keep me stable, to keep me steady, and to keep me on the path. So that's what I'd like to share today. I'm grateful to be here with all of you. And I'd like to just share a few prayers with everyone today. And what I'd like, and these are some prayers that I find really important for me. All of them are wonderful. And yet I think that there's some prayers that, you know, for the moment and for this topic, I find really important. So first I'd like to do 50.003, Fortuna's Flow. 50.003. And, you know, we have the opportunity to call to Beloved Fortuna for the abundance that we desire. And whether that is in financial or health or anything that we desire, we can ask for this. And allowing it to flow into us and from us is very important. We'll go straight to the preamble. In the name I am that I am, my beloved Holy Christ Buddha Self, and Holy Christ Buddha Selves of all light bearers throughout cosmos, beloved Fortuna, God of Gold, Mother Mary, Our Lady of Cosmic Abundance, Igor, Kuan Yin, Maha Chohan, the Great Divine Director, Saint Germain and Portia, the Old Man of the Hills, Amarillia, Lux Ray, Padre Pio, Rose of Light, Charity, Serene Cusco, Lanello, K-17, Kali, the Buddha Mother, and all true messengers of God, all ascended and cosmic beings, leaders of angels and archangels, aliens, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of heaven, gnomes, undines, sylphs, and salamanders, I pray. Joyously we come to you, blessed Fortuna dear, knowing God's abundance now is already here. We are blessed crystals bright in our world of form, cosmic souls in the light, this is now our norm. Elementals, joyous ones, bring all we require, cornucopia of nature's blessings now inspire. God of gold, we humbly bow, in your presence pray. Radiant blessings from the sun, flow not by thy ray. Devas, angels, precious friends, grateful now we are, to receive your precious gifts, come from near and far. Golden liquid, sacred fire, vestige gracious fair, we imbibe into our beings, joyous love so rare. Mary, cosmic mother dear, we surrender all. Grace us now with all your gifts, hear our humble call. And I think that we can make the calls that we desire for what's required for us in our lives and for our family, and that we know that the Master speaks to us directly and through our messenger and through people who we meet. And I encourage us to pay attention as to people we meet and we talk to, because we never know, they may be one of the Masters coming to talk to us and give us a message. And I find that that's really very important for me to be aware of. The next one I'd like to do is I am the one, and I stand in being that one who really can take the ownership of making it all possible. If not by myself, I can do it with the blessings and help of others. And Beloved El Moria truly is that blue fire of let's do it. And so I constantly ask him to guide me in getting those things done that I choose to do. We'll go to the preamble. In the name I am that I am, my beloved Holy Christ for the self, and Holy Christ for the cells of all light bearers throughout cosmos, beloved El Moria, all legions of the first ray of God's holy will, Saint Germain and Portia, the great divine director, Hercules and Amazonia, legions of angels from out the great silence and from the cosmic void, Charity, Serene Crisco, Lanello, K-17, Kali, the Buddha Mother, and all true messengers of God, all ascended and cosmic beings, legions of angels and archangels, Elohim, Buddhism, Bodhisattva of heaven, gnomes, undines, sylphs, and salamanders, I pray. Come, O Dominant Ruler of God, within my aura of rays, that radiate protection, heal, and life and terror rays, that power streaming from above, the strength of purpose when determination in your way, perfection grow within. I am the one, I am the one, I stand in Moria's fire. I am the one, I am the one, I live in God's desire. Come, O Dominant Ruler of God, defend my very soul, through lightning flash or close of sky, O heal and make me whole. Unite, O people, in your way, forgive me, not bloom, and shackle every child of God, unworthiness consume. I am the one, I am the one, I stand in Moria's fire. I am the one, I am the one, I live in God's desire. Come, O Dominant Ruler of God, my dwelling now reprove, intensify the sacred fire, and guide my every move. Will strip me of a vessel of love to Moria's steely eyes, the vigor and integrity, belief and faith arise. I am the one, I am the one, I stand in Moria's fire. I am the one, I am the one, I live in God's desire. Come, O Dominant Ruler of God, my within my aura blaze, my radiate protection here on life on terror rays. That power streaming from above, the strength of purpose wins, determination in your perfection grow within. I am the one, I am the one, I stand in Moria's fire. I am the one, I am the one, I live in God's desire. Come, O Dominant Ruler of God, defend my very soul, through lightning flash across the sky, heal and make me whole. Unite, O people, in your way, forgive me not to bloom, unshackle every child of God, our worthiness consume. I am the one, I am the one, I stand in Moria's fire. I am the one, I am the one, I live in God's desire. Come, O Dominant Ruler of God, I dwell and I reprove, intensify the sacred fire, and God may every move. Will strip me of a lesser love to more steely eyes, the vigor and integrity, believe and faith arise. I am the one, I am the one, I stand in Moria's fire. I am the one, I am the one, I live in God's desire. Come, O Dominant Ruler of God, within my aura blaze, I radiate protection here on life on terror rays, a power streaming from above, the strength of purpose when determination in your way, perfection grow within. I am the one, I am the one, I stand in Moria's fire. I am the one, I am the one, I live in God's desire. Come, O Dominant Ruler of God, within my very soul, the lightning flash across the sky, heal and make me whole. Unite, O people, in your way, forgive me, not to bloom, and shackle every child of God, unworthiness consume. I am the one, I am the one, I stand in Moria's fire. I am the one, I am the one, I live in God's desire. Come, O Dominant Ruler of God, I dwell and I reprove, intensify the sacred fire, and God may every move. Or strip me of a lesser love to Moria's steely eyes, my vigor and integrity, belief and faith arise. I am the one, I am the one, I stand in Moria's fire. I am the one, I am the one, I live in God's desire. Thank you all for being so gracious to have me with you this day. And beloved Helen, I'll send it back to you.